Thank you. You may be seated. Turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 20, John's Gospel chapter 20, reading verse number 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. See, then I want to speak about the love that lingers. The love that lingers. Latter part of chapter records Jesus' interaction with two disciples, Mary Magdalene and Thomas. Each disciple teaches us something about ourselves. One, Christians mature at different stages in their experiences. We're different in our maturity. Mary Magdalene showed more patience than Thomas. The Lord dealt with them differently. You see something else with the two disciples we'll be considering. Mary waited upon her Lord by lingering at the tomb. Thomas became missing in action. But Thomas, one of the 12, that is called Didymus, was not there when Jesus came. We're going to get to that next time. The questions that can be raised is, what is it that will cause you and me to disappear? Second, what is it that will keep us close to Jesus, lingering with Jesus? Is it someone in the church that you see? Or is it Him that you're looking for? Thomas disappeared because of unbelief. Mary lingered by the tomb because of love for her Savior. We should ponder these things as in the Word of God. This hour we'll consider the first of two disciples, Mary. Can't have enough of Mary Magdalene because John the Evangelist spent quite a bit of time with Mary Magdalene, showing the blessings of those who wait, those who linger. There are more practical lessons in this narrative than spiritual, as we saw the last time. Therefore, we will consider some of these lessons this evening. And the first one is, all believers do not have the same measure of faith. All Christians do not have the same measure. Say they don't have faith. The same measure of faith. Mary's faith caused her to linger at the tomb of the Lord Jesus, while the other two disciples went on their way home. Look at verse 9 and 10 of John 20. That we considered last time. Then the disciple, let me read from verse 9. For yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples, the two, went away unto their own home. You see that? These men, powerful men, went home. They saw the empty tomb. They went home. All believers do not have the same measure of faith. But all believers will grow in faith. Verse 11 and 12. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. In the past tense, had lain is important. Lingering love caused Mary to experience two things that the other disciples did not experience. One, the sight of the two heavenly messengers. You see that? They didn't see that. The other, two saw the empty grave. They saw the linen clothes that Nicodemus and Joseph had wrapped the body of Jesus with, but they saw no angelic hosts to confirm the resurrection. You should ponder these things. A lot of times you are in a rush to get out the door, a rush. You must linger sometimes. You must linger around other saints. What's the rush? You might see what others don't see when you linger. The Bible says they had not yet known the scripture, so they went home. You probably know everything about scripture. But these didn't know. And that's why some go home. Because they haven't yet known the scripture. Otherwise they would fellowship. Mary's love for the Savior caused her to linger. The old Bishop J.C. Ryle said, "It is a touching fact and one to be carefully noted that Mary Magdalene would not leave the sepulchre when Peter and John went away to their own home." The Reverend J.C. Wright captured it, just as we are saying. John the Evangelist took note of this act of Mary to show it is never the big things that you do that reflect your faith and love for Christ, but the little things that we do. At times we look to others to do those little things in the ministry, but you never see them. They go home. Later we will see that Mary was richly rewarded. Do you ever find yourself lingering around the things of God? For some of us, Sunday morning, an hour and a half is good enough. Or are you as those that are in a mad rush to leave the setting of worship, an exposition of the Holy Scriptures? You must linger. Do you linger in His Word? Do you ponder it when it is preached? Do you spend time thinking about it, meditating upon it? You must linger some more. Many of you are so dry and cold in your Christian walk. Dry. Cool. You may come to church regularly, sing loudly, but can become dry in faith and love to the brethren. Duty is fine, but duty without delight is drudgery. I delight to do the things I do here at the church, but for some people it's drudgery. All believers do not show the same measure of faith and love, but they should grow. If you don't grow, something is wrong. You might not have life. The other striking lesson you and I can learn from this narrative is that many of our personal fears are needless. Many of our personal fears are needless. Sandrine, I'm not looking at you because I'm talking to you. Don't meet me at the door. I just happened to look at you. And I need to look at you, by the way. Yeah, I spoke to her a couple of weeks or last week about something and asked her, what are you worrying about? Verse 13 and 14. He said unto her, when these two angels, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain, pick up verse 13. They say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Mary stood weeping. Her fear was that someone had taken the body of her Lord. The Lord was there in her presence, but she did not recognize him. And how many times, people of God, we are like Mary, fearful of things that are untrue. Fearful. We ain't got no facts, but we're fearful on Friday anyway. Just like what's going on around us. Fearful of things that we have no control over. Never take note of the Lord's presence with us. Never see that. Let's see the circumstances around us. How many times we're like that? Most of the things you and I worry about may never happen because the Lord will not permit them to happen. A lot of times I worry about things down the road that are going to happen. When I get down the road, the Lord make the way so easy. And say to me, you see, what were you worrying about? I tell you about all the tragedies and all the different problems I had in Zimbabwe. How the Lord opened the way. And he was worrying. I told you about the guy that was to meet me at the airport and hijack me. When I get, what are you worrying about? I have my man on the ground. Worry, worry, worry. Worry about this. Worry about tomorrow. We should take advice from Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. The peace of God shall rule. And that's the problem. Peace of God shall rule your hearts and your minds. The peace of God, Zachy. Let the peace of God rule. And don't worry. It's not your job. This is just as a big sin as anything else. Verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And I'm glad for this. You know why? Because sometimes the Lord is right next to us and we don't know. We don't sense his presence. We don't sense his presence in the ministry of the word. We don't sense his presence when the minister of God brings that scripture to us. We don't sense it. By the way, this text refutes the idea that Jesus arose with his glorious resurrected body. This is a teaching that some people say Jesus come out of the tomb with his glorified body. Had Jesus been in his glorified body, Mary would have been blinded. Jesus appeared as a normal person. She thought that he was the caretaker. You see, Mary's eyes was not yet open to recognize the Savior. And sometimes we come to church and we listen and we are yet blinded because God didn't open our eyes to the scripture. to the doctrines of grace. When we go in the Bible is closed because God haven't opened our eyes to the scriptures. And we must pray. People say, well, where do you get that from? Well, don't ask me, ask the Lord. That's what you need to ask. Ask the Lord, where did he get that from? And then he'll show you where you get it from. Fifteen, Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. Said unto him, sir. Only now she see him as another person. If you have borne him hence, if you have taken him away, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. This is remarkable. Because can you imagine that this woman, probably not no bigger than Doris, wanted to take away a man, maybe 6 foot tall, in his body. How far are you going to get him? But it shows the love and the faith of this woman that would do the impossible for her Lord. The Lord called her by name, verse 16. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master or teacher, as the New King James say. What a wonderful thought that Mary was the first to hear the Lord's voice that first Lord's Day morning. See what she got? That first Lord's Day morning, Martin. She was the first to hear the voice of the risen Savior. It's a remarkable thing. At times it pays to linger, to wait. Remember the song? I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Somebody pen these words because they grasp the love, the faith of this woman. I pray for our people. We pray for our people. They're not well spiritually. And we must be realistic too when we pray. And some of us are not realistic when we pray for our people. That's why nothing don't happen. You don't know a pastor's heart. All believers do not show the same measure of faith. Mary lingered. The other disciples went home. Does your faith and love cause you and I to linger? Even with God's people, linger. You may glean something from them. Nigel, you hear me? Good. Second, many, if not all, of our fears are needless. Mary stood weeping by the tomb, by Jesus' tomb. As Jesus stood nearby. Lastly, they're practical. How feelings can overcome us. How our own feelings can overcome us. Verse 17. Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. You know, the quickest thing we can do is to grab hold of a friend or a loved one when we see them, especially in a circumstance like this. There's nothing wrong in showing emotion to loved ones or to those we love, providing that it is in order. But at times we can be overcome by our feelings. And commentators struggle with this. Mary was not to get carried away with the bodily resurrection of Jesus. He appeared to her in body. The time of the supper of the marriage with the Lamb had not yet consummated. Some may wonder why the risen Lord forbade Mary to touch him and invited Thomas to reach in and touch my side. Commentators wonder about that. Or in the Matthew 28:9 text, disciples touch him without rebuke. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. No one knows the answer why Mary was forbidden. And it is needless to speculate like many commentators do. But Jesus is a holy man. But there is both moral and spiritual applications here. First, we must not only see our Lord in the flesh. We must see him as the Son of God. That's what he is, holy God. As human creatures, we can quickly gravitate to the bodily aspect of Jesus and forget that God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And these icons and everything in the Catholic Church, you see, of Jesus is rubbish. See him just in the body. But second, Mary is a picture, as I've said many times before, as the believer, of the believer, of the church. And as believers, we desire to spend intimate moments with our Lord Jesus. If you call yourself a believer and you don't, something is wrong with you. But the time has not yet come when this is fully expressed. There are more immediate matters to take into consideration. And that's why Jesus says, don't touch me, but go. Tell my disciples. The Lord has saved his people for a purpose. Verse 18 gives that purpose. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. I want us to briefly consider this conversation between Mary and Jesus a little precisely, because there are also some gospel applications stated in the context. Verse 16, I've read it to you already, when Jesus says, Mary. These words are in response to Mary's action to her risen Lord. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. There are a response to Mary's reaction to her risen Lord. Mary didn't recognize who the Lord was. Her eyes were yet closed, as I said. She said in verse 15, Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. As I said, the idea seems impossible for Mary to remove the body of Jesus by herself. But the lesson is profound. Love hopes all things, endures all things, believes all things. But it's more than this. The Lord is not to be taken away by anyone. He's not an independent Savior. The Lord responded to this statement saying, Mary. That's all he said. Mary. The scripture says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's all he needs to say, Mary. When the Lord asks Mary the two questions in verse 15, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? She did not know his voice. But after he called her name, she quickly recognized it was her Savior. The Bible says in verse 16, she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. The text says she turned herself. Oh, very interestingly, this Greek word turn is the same word translated convert or converted. Matthew 18:3, verily say unto you, except you be converted, become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It was not Mary who turned herself. It was the spoken word by Jesus that created a turnaround in Mary. This is the lesson. A conversion. I'm not saying that Mary was not saved, but what I'm saying is this is the lesson that is brought to you. Don't get into the speculation about Mary if she's saved or not. Look at yourself. It is the spoken word that produces a turnaround. And Mary now is able to say Rabboni, which is to say teacher. You and I can take this personally. The Lord says many things to the people of the City View Baptist Church. But until he calls us personally, we will never turn around. All we will hear is Brother Brian's words before we can call him master or teacher. There must be a personal turning around. When the Lord called Mary, it was really a mild rebuke. Mary, haven't you recognized me? I'm the one that cast seven devils out of you. Mary. It's like when one is showing a person a truth, and they're not able to grasp that truth. And you respond by calling their name. Mars. When she hear that, she knows what it is. It's a rebuke. Mars. The lights go on. You do this to your children, don't you? But you try to get your point across. Our Lord often calls his people. In this manner, he calls his sheep by name. This is the gist of the message. Many times, we have to address the same things over and over and over again. And there's no apparent change. And you come back here and say it again. Church. Not Mary. Listen. I realize that some of you have gone back coming late to get the point across. And this is how the Lord lovingly responded to Mary. Mary. When she heard that, the light bulbs went on. Master. Thomas did the same thing. And we'll get to him. But these things are personal. So, Mary, in her excitement, wanted to claim Jesus as her own. Show me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. No, we don't take the Lord away for ourselves. We go with him to other people. Verse 17, Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. Say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. is what Mary, as well as us today, are called to do. But go to my brethren, say unto them, I send unto my... No, this was Sunday afternoon. It was Sunday really morning. And Mary knew where to find the brethren. And I made an application last week. Some of us, we are people, you don't know where to find them. They haven't captured the scriptures. What nonsense are we talking about? I'm a Christian and I love Jesus. Well, where did we get that from? When these words were spoken, that I go to my father, I sent to my father. He spent 40 more days with his disciples. You know that? Marcy spent 40 more days. And yet he says, go tell them that I'm going to my father. He did not immediately went back to heaven. You see, the verb is in the present tense. He says, I am ascending to my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. It's a word of comfort. This is to show that the atonement was completed, that God was satisfied with the work of his Son. He has the right to enter heaven, to go back to heaven. Can you say that? I'm going to my Father? Or are you afraid? Some of us are afraid to die. Like Mike said, I can't understand these Christians all say they go to heaven and they're frightened to die. But he was right. Don't touch me. You see, he lived with a wife that professed Christianity, so he knew what he was talking about. But that's what he said to me. The atonement was completed. Isaiah rightly said, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. First, he bore our sins. But this was not all. He must return to his Father to make intercession. And it should be a comfort to you and me. I'm going to my Father. It is there I sit at the right hand, making intercession for the saints. What do you want to hold on to him and carry him away? This is a message. Seeing the Lord. He's spoken these things to her. Brethren, as I conclude this evening message from John, I'm not going to bite off any more than I can chew. I'm going to stop here. I trust that you men will follow my example. Today we do not see him, as Mary saw him, but we see him in faith, a faith that causes us to linger. To get more of him. Linger not at the empty tomb. But linger in his presence. Linger with his people. Believe in his word. When we do this, we rightly proclaim him. And this is what we are attempting to do at our church. To proclaim Christ. To bring him to you from the scriptures as your servants, to show you Christ. But I can't show you Christ except I show you your sin and my sin. And this is the servant's job, to show Christ, to present him whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, complete, saved in Christ. Pray the Lord bless these John messages. I know some people are commenting about them, passing the wrong, as evangelistic tools. Thank you, Brother Scholar. I've heard from you. I pray you get the word out to the people and others who would listen, that God will be glorified in the City View Baptist Church and in the world. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the ministry of the word, and we pray you will bless your word even this hour. As it went forth, we pray that you would see us faithful in delivering your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.